Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our Old Testament lesson, Jeremiah chapter 33, beginning at the 14th verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, some years back, I remember stepping into an old hardware store in a small country town. And it was like stepping back into time, stepping back into something from Americana of times past. Old wooden floor, cash register on the counter that was not electronic, it was ka-ching, ka-ching. And behind the counter, there was a sign. It said, "In God we trust. In God we trust, all others pay cash." In God we trust, all others pay cash. And maybe that's the title for today's sermon. In God we trust, all others pay cash. Today's Old Testament lesson. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise that I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And in those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. As I was getting ready for church this Sunday and preparing today's sermon, I read those words, and as I was reading them, the thought came to my mind, you know, I just don't believe in it anymore. I used to believe in it. When I was a child, 1 Corinthians 13, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. And honestly, I just don't believe in it anymore. Now, a lot of people do. More power to them. I mean, it's surprising, though, that they believe it. You think they would know better. You would think that experience would teach them otherwise, but it's a free country. And if they want to get themselves all worked up over it, I suppose that's their business. But honestly, speaking for myself, I just don't believe in it anymore. I just don't believe that somehow, some way, someday, we are going to elect someone who is just going to fix things. Who's going to fix everything? They'll have the right answers. They will have the right solutions. They'll have the right wisdom. They'll have the right skill. They'll have the right power. And you know, I've searched high and low. Maybe you have as well, too. I've read those election books they send out to us, and you read all the things that the candidates tell you, and you search among the Democrats, and you search among the Republicans, and you search among the independents, and you search among the libertarians. And why do you do it? You do it because, well, hope springs eternal, and there's just got to be someone out there who's going to fix things, someone out there who's going to make it right. Well, believe what you want, but I just don't believe in it anymore. I don't. Now, I realize saying that fully or full well that that doesn't sound very American, does it? It doesn't sound quite right. Matter of fact, you can quote our presidents and things that they had to say. And this is public record, so I will just quote it. President Obama said he believed that America is perfectible. Now, to balance things out, our president-elect said that he thinks we're about to enter a golden age. Don't you love it when they talk like that? I love it. It sounds so wonderful. It sounds so good. And to hear it from both sides of the aisle, both of them saying the same thing. To speak otherwise just does not sound American. And to speak otherwise also just doesn't sound biblical. It doesn't sound Christian. Today's lesson, again, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And in those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely, and this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness." And yet, if you look at their history, the history of the people of God, their history in the Old Testament, you are going to be hard put. As a matter of fact, it's not going to happen that you are going to find a descendant of King David, a ruler of God's people, that fits the bill. You won't find a single one of them. Now you could say, well, what about Solomon? Solomon was the wisest of them all. And yet, Solomon forgot his own words. His words that he wrote down for posterity, the words that came out of his mouth, that the fear of the Lord is the starting point of wisdom. And Solomon, however he may have started, ended up someplace very far away, not possibly in faith. Another descendant of King David, King Uzziah, he was one of the smartest of the kings. As a matter of fact, he fell into the trap that smart people sometimes do, that maybe you're just a little too smart to have to listen to the good Lord. Then there was King Jehoshaphat, one of the bravest of the kings. But he made plans with an unbelieving king to build a fleet of ships for trade, and I guess a storm came along and wrecked all of them. Plans dashed to the ground. Then there was King Hezekiah, another descendant of King David, one who was probably the most trusting in the Lord. And yet when the ambassadors came from the kingdom of Babylon, Hezekiah showed them all his treasures, something they put in the back of their heads, and the day would come when the Babylonians would take them all. And of course, toward the end of the Davidic kings, there was King Josiah, who was probably one of the most godly, but he foolishly tried to stop Pharaoh's big army with his little army, and he got killed in the process. And that's just the good ones. What about the bad ones? There were plenty of bad kings who didn't trust in the Lord. None of these descendants of King David measure up to today's Old Testament lesson. They just don't. They don't fit the bill. They weren't there to fix things as they need to be fixed. To find someone like that, what you're going to have to do is turn your back on the Old Testament and turn your back on the centers of power and turn your back on the presidents and turn your back on the kings. And what you're going to have to do is end up with the wise men in a little country town, a little one-horse town called Bethlehem. And after that, you're going to have to end up at a one-horse town called Nazareth. And after that, you're going to have to end up at a one-horse town called Capernaum. And after that, you're going to have to end up outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem, not even inside, outside the walls, as the king, the one who was promised, hangs on a cross and dies. But the strange thing of all of it is that on that cross, the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 33 was fulfilled. On the cross, it was taken care of. In those days, Judah and the rest of us as well will be saved. In those days, Jerusalem will dwell securely, because what's more securely than being right with God? And you're right with God and you have his favor, you know, because Jesus took your sin and because Jesus lived righteously for you. You know that you have his favor, and you can say what? The words of the psalm. You know them. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And where do I end up? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the name by which it will be called, Jerusalem. This is the name by which Judah will be called. This is the name by which the children of God will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. And what you have there is one of those places in the Bible where there's a verse or where there's just a phrase that takes the whole Christian faith and puts it all together. You know some of them. John 3:16, God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, etc. You know Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And here you have, the Lord is our righteousness. Not you are your own righteousness, but the Lord is your righteousness. Removed from the situation is all human effort and work and obedience and power and ability and goodness and smarts and merit. And all you're left with is two things. You are left with human sin, your sin, and you're left with that because you got to dig down to build high. You are left with human sin, and then you are left with Jesus' righteousness. His obedience, his faithfulness, his merit, which is given to you. St. Paul would write about it, Book of Romans. He said, by the works of the law, in other words, keeping the rules, no human being will be justified in God's sight. Rather, through God's law comes the knowledge of sin. You finally realize what you are. You dig down deep till you hit the bedrock. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin, but now the righteousness of God, not your righteousness, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from keeping the rules, although keeping the through the law and the prophets, they bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, and you probably know the words, there is no distinction for all, that's all of us, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And we also know that the Lord Jesus, who came once to save us, will come again to take us home. And right there, you've got the season of Advent summed up in one little phrase. And that's why we keep praying in the season of Advent. Doesn't matter who got elected, who is in office, who is the king, who is the ruler, who's the prince, princess, doesn't matter. We still sing the same words because it's still the same world. We sing, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. Yeah, but what about America? Somebody's still biting their nails out there. What about America? What about our politics? Do we just throw the whole thing in the garbage? Well, that's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says, it says, be an upright citizen. The Bible says, obey the rules, or obey the laws. The Bible says, be faithful. It says, pay your taxes. It says, above all, pray for your leaders. Why? Because they need it. They're just human beings. They're just human beings. And so the sign remains true. I think it's always been true. Who do we trust in? In God we trust, and all others pay cash. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.